The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox and Stockbridge. Also watching us, I think you are, on Channel 1301, Access Pittsfield, and on the PCTV Select app. Great to have you here with us this morning. Thursday, September 18th already, middle of the month. Beautiful morning out there. If you're just getting up, you're going to have a nice day. I want to say congratulations to all the folks at the PCTV annual meeting last night. We had a very nice gathering there at the Polish Falcons Hall on Bel Air Ave, as we always do in the month of September, and gave out some really nice awards for members who did an exceptional job this past year for us. Love our volunteers, love our members here at PCTV and WTBR-FM, so congratulations to all those folks, and thanks for coming out. If you were there, we definitely appreciate it. We've got a great show here for you this morning. We have Kenny Warren. He is the Ward 1 City Councilor here in the city of Pittsfield, and been a while. We tried to get him on the show. Schedules didn't work out for a long time. We got him here this morning, and lots of stuff to talk about going on in the city and surrounding areas. Always some issues to talk about, and looking forward to that conversation with Kenny. First, let's get to the weather forecast and see what we have in store for us today from the National Weather Service. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, patchy fog this morning. Sunny. Highs around 80. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear. Patchy fog after midnight. Lows in the mid-50s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday, patchy fog in the morning. Mostly sunny. Highs in the mid-70s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
And really no rain in the forecast immediately, from what I could see anyway. We've got maybe some coming up early to midweek next week. I was hearing possibly Tuesday or Wednesday. And it's been a while, actually, since we've had any kind of rain, which is a very dry condition. And we saw some of that last year. I hope it doesn't turn into that kind of dryness where we're looking at, you know, the fires and things like we had last year in Great Barrington. It's tough. You know, we had kind of a wet spring, and then all of a sudden it's just dry, 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 dry. All right, welcome again to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, and with me is Kenny Warren. Good morning, Kenny. How are you?
Good morning. How's everything going with you?
Well, we're doing okay for a morning after the annual meeting.
That's right.
A later night and an early morning, you know, but we get it done. Yeah, and I don't know. Are you a morning person?
Well, actually, yes. As a matter of fact, when you were talking about the nice day, et cetera, I've already been out walking my dog, and she loved it. These beautiful fall mornings are great to walk in. It's just crisp. It's no clouds bothering you that you're worrying about rain or anything. It's very nice.
Yeah. And what's your dog's name?
Lizzie.
Lizzie. All right. Well, Lizzie must enjoy that in the mornings.
Oh, she definitely does. She picks and chooses. Some days she wants to walk a long distance. Other days we'll get out of the car, go a short distance, and she plops herself down. and then I have to stand there and wait till she gets ready to move.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is a nice time of the year to be doing that for sure. And sometimes the summer months are just overwhelmingly hot and oppressive. We had quite a few 90-degree days this year as well. And I think I operate better in that than I do in the winter, though. That's me.
I just like the fall. The winter gets a little too cold. Summer gets too hot for me. And Lizzie, she's a black dog. She's a black Labrador pit bull mix. Mm. And when she's in the sun, yesterday, she was panting because sun right on you, it's right. Something.
And I hear we're going to hit 80 again today. So
oh, wow.
Pretty amazing for middle of September. So lots of stuff going on at the city council level, and you're always right in the thick of it. Certainly, you do contribute quite a few petitions on the city council. I'd say you're probably one of the more prolific city councilors putting petitions in.
Well, that's true. I mean, I think sometimes to address both city issues, but I'm a ward councilor, also ward issues, mm-hmm. you've got to put petitions in. And sometimes you can maybe solve the problem without a petition. But if you don't put a petition, sometimes people who aren't directly, you're directly working with, won't know you're working on that issue. Mm-hmm. And so they'll think nothing's being done because something that's affecting this resident might be affecting others. And if you put a petition in, it puts it on the record and people know that things are being worked on.
Yeah. And citizens sometimes don't realize that they also can put a petition into the city council, right?
Absolutely.
There's a process for that. It goes through the city clerk. So it doesn't have to go through your city councilor, for example?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Anybody, as a matter of fact, we have a constitutional amendment in Massachusetts that allows you to petition your government, which includes city councils, state legislature, and they can put in a petition themselves. They can put it through their city councilor. Obviously, talking to your city councilor, if it's something you want to get work done in the ward, mm-hmm. you'd want to go through your city councilor, not because mm-hmm. they control everything, but they'd have a handle on what's being done and why maybe this is being put off or mm-hmm. whatever.
And what are some of the, let's say, most common things that constituents would come to you for and say, you know, I think we really need to get this done? Is it a lot of things like stop signs and speed limits and, you know, culverts and things like that? What kinds of things do you come across your desk for things like that?
That's public works type stuff, all that you've mentioned.
Common, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you got your roads. I get complaints from people outside my ward for roads in my ward because they have to go over them. Roads, yeah, trees was a big issue. I've had more tree complaints than I've ever seen. I've had
trees that were what, too close to property lines or utility poles or things like that.
Yeah, trees that were in the tree line that people thought were dead, and they were worried that eventually part of them would break off or whatever. Mm-hmm. Trees that were affecting. I just recently worked with the utility company because there were. There's a tree. It looks like a haunted tree type. All its limbs were intertwined with the wires. And so they came and they judiciously pruned it. Right now I'm working on a matter where there's a city lot and it's got all trees. And along its border, it's got trees on a private residence and stuff. So they had to re-roof their garage because of not getting shade, et cetera, and, you know, mold, and I forgot what else he told me.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of things like that can happen, and, you know, there's a lot of property in the city of Pittsfield, and it's hard to keep track of everything. So obviously when the residents come to you as a ward councilor, they're looking for some help that maybe you didn't even realize there was an issue until it's brought to your attention.
Well, absolutely. Obviously, people who live in an area, they're more familiar with on a day-to-day basis of what's happening, so they know what's going on. And something that you, if I'm driving through the ward on my way to work or something, I'm not there long enough to catch, but if there's something that's happening in the area that they catch up on. Mm-hmm. And I, most of the things that I get called on, I do site visits. Mm-hmm. I go out because I want to see where it is, what's around the area that's contributing to it. So yeah. I go out there.
Different than seeing it in an email. Right?
Absolutely. Or even though I've been in Ward 1 for 40-something years, that doesn't mean I've been on every street or things don't change. So you've got to get out and see what's going on.
And so for folks listening now, this is, again, Kenny Warren, the Ward 1 city councilor in the city of Pittsfield. Give us, for people that may not be familiar, give us sort of the boundaries of where Ward 1 is. What are some of the major streets and thoroughfares? What are some of the buildings and the highlights, the schools, things like that, that are in Ward 1?
Okay. It's basically the northeast corner of the city, basically. North Street is the dividing line all the way up to Lanesboro, down into about First Street. Mm-hmm. There's some sections of Tyler Street up to about Woodlawn. Then I go up Benedict and then Crane and then out Cheshire Road and out Dalton Avenue. So that's that corner. I mean, we've got I've got a part of the Allendale Shopping Center. Mm. I've got the Patrika Properties. I've got the rail trail.
Mm-hmm. Reed Middle School.
I don't have Morningside, but a lot of my constituents have kids that go to Morningside.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think what else, you know. No, I was just thinking because I used to, when I was on the council years ago, I used to have Ward 2, which is right next to it. So I was wondering if I had the pot stores on Dalton Avenue. Yeah. But no, I go up Crane Avenue.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
And that area over toward Dalton as well.
Yeah. Up Dalton Avenue, I'm on the left side. Mm. So I've got the paint store. I've got all the commercial on that side. But still, I border on a lot of the main commercial in the city of Pittsfield.
Yep. So it is, and the borders shift a little bit over time, but for the most part, that's always sort of the, I think of the city of Pittsfield like a big square, but drawn into a clock, and you're sort of in the 1 to 2 p.m. range.
Correct.
Up in that corner.
Correct.
Yeah. So lots of ward issues, certainly, and there have also been some sort of more generalized, larger issues for the city of Pittsfield going on, which, of course, ward councilors have full votes on, and when you get to discuss things, you're not just discussing things that are in the ward. Obviously, in the news right now, on a lot of people's minds is the potential changes to the charter, the Pittsfield City Charter. And again, that's sort of laying the groundwork here. That's something that gets reviewed every so often, about 10 years or so, right?
Correct. We did a charter, a major charter review back in 2013. Well, the work was done a year, 2 years before, but it went to the ballot in 2013 to take effect in 2015.
Yep. And the major change with that one, if I remember right, was changing the mayor's term from a 2-year term to a 4-year term. And I think it also gave us the charter objection.
Correct. Right? I can digress on that a little later. But then they worked into it smartly. That every 10 years, because the charter is like the Constitution, supposed to be a living document, because as conditions change or whatever. So we were supposed to have a review every 10 years, which meant we should have had something to the voters in 2023. Mm. We're a little behind.
But that's not, it's a requirement, but if you're in the process, right, if you're working it out, it's sort of fungible to a little extent.
Well, but it is required that we do the review. It's not required that we make any changes.
Ah, okay.
And it's not required that we put any changes forward so that the voters have to decide one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But we're supposed to do the review. And we didn't. As a matter of fact, one of the first petitions I put in, you mentioned I did petitions.
Yeah.
I was on a charter review back in the 80s. And so that's a big thing for me. So I put in a request that we set up a charter review committee as the charter requires.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while to get that done. Finally, it was done about a year after I petitioned. Mm-hmm. And then it didn't meet for some time after that. And so here we are in 2025. And if we put anything to the ballot, we may not get it onto this year's ballot. Mm-hmm. And so then it'll be another 2 years. So we're way behind.
Yeah. But that commission or committee did have a significant number of meetings. I know we covered them at BCTV. And they did consider quite a few changes, right? So some of the changes that they put forward then went to a committee on the city council, right? Was that the ordinances and rules committee? Is that
yes.
Where the next stop after the charter review commission?
Correct.
Made their recommendations?
Correct.
And then, so what were some of those recommendations that came forward to that committee? Do you remember?
They did not do any changes for any of the positions except maybe the city clerk. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the charter objection in a way that I think most city councilors weren't looking for it that way, and we're the ones who deal with it. Basically, it affects how we operate, nothing else.
So right now, as it stands, the charter objection is a tool that can be used during city council debate, right? That's how that works, that basically any single city councilor can put up a charter objection during debate, and that triggers a means for the council to stop debate at that moment and take it back up at the next regular meeting? Is that the way it works now?
Well, I don't want to quibble on words. It's not really to regulate debate as much as to prevent a vote.
To prevent a vote. So you could continue to debate all you want after the charter objection. You just then can't take a vote.
No, you're supposed to stop. But what I'm saying is most people do the charter objection at the time that people are getting ready to vote. When after people have finished debating and somebody calls and says, I move for approval and whatever, and the chair is going to take a vote, that's when most of the charter objections, as I've seen it in previously, is done. And the reason is you're saying it's not ready to be voted on. We're moving too fast. Mm. Somebody wants to slow it down, either to get more information or feels that the other counselors are just moving too quickly because they haven't given it thought. I don't think most people are trying. Most people don't. It's not done like after the motion's made to stop people from talking about it. It's just if some people think after everybody's talked that they're not ready to vote on it. And it's so that we don't rush things through on certain matters.
So do you think then, in your opinion, that that's been an effective tool over the last 10 years, the way it was designed? Was it actually used the way it was originally envisioned, or are there problems with it?
I think for the most part, it's been used the way it was. To be honest with you, there's two things we may talk about on the charter that I was originally against and now I'm for. I wasn't for the charter objection, but I see how it plays a role. It was, I think, not, I think it, I don't want to say misused. I just don't think the time it was used in my last term for the budget was appropriate. And the reason is, one of the things it's there for is, like I said, to give more time for people to think, et cetera. It's used in a budget procedure. It's not necessary. We have a month and a half of meetings, both regular city council meetings and budget meetings, et cetera. You have time to think about it. Asking for another 2 weeks doesn't do anything. But let's say the mayor put something on the agenda. Matter of fact, our agendas will be coming out probably today. Put something on, and we've got to vote on it on Tuesday, and it might take some more. But if the mayor has six people who are interested in moving forward, and there's a couple who want a little more time, the minority doesn't have any say unless they use a charter objection. So my understanding, it's been used about 4 or 5 times, and one time it wasn't used appropriately. And as a matter of fact, that's the change that I had suggested through my petitions, and that eventually came through through the city council, and I think that's appropriate.
And that one time that you mentioned was during a budget process, right, where
absolutely
all the way through, all the meetings had happened, and it was at the very last moment in June when the budget does need to be passed in a timely manner so that things, the wheels can turn, right, if you will, that July 1st comes and you have a budget in place and you can run city government. And if you don't have that, then you have some problems. So the new changes to the charter objection will what? Pull that back? Will not allow that during a budget debate or a budget vote?
Correct. At the end of the budget session, you're needing to take a vote. And like you say, you need to have a budget to start the fiscal year. You don't use a charter objection just because the vote's going to go opposite of the way you want it to go, because in 2 weeks, the same thing will happen. You're just delaying it. And if you're delaying it just to delay it and cause problems, because if we don't have a budget on July 1st, that could cause a lot of problems for different departments. It just didn't make sense. So my suggestion was, we still have it, but we take the budget process. Is not that you're not eligible to raise it for the budget process, the final budget vote.
Okay.
And that makes sense, because other issues, I can't think of one right now, but if the mayor put something to change the bike lanes.
you had to say bike lanes.
So the mayor is going to change the bike lanes. We get it on Thursday. We've got to think about whether it makes sense traffic-wise, et cetera. Tuesday, there's six counselors who are ready to go because they just want to finish this issue once and for all. But there's a couple who say there's some more that we need to look at. Mm-hmm. You make a charter objection. It gives you a two-week break. Well, it gives you up to a two-week break.
Up until the next meeting.
Well, what happens
is... But there could be a special meeting that's called also, right?
And right.
That's where it would go.
If one person objects, it can go to a special meeting if it's that important. Mm-hmm. And if two, it guarantees that it goes to the next regularly scheduled city council meeting.
So that's the other big change, is that it goes from one person being able to charter object to two, right?
No. We kept the one?
We kept the one,
because the whole idea... is you want to give, if some one counselor at least is willing to stand up and wants more time, you're willing to go. First of all, most counselors, if there's an emergency, most counselors would step up and vote on it, and most people wouldn't be objecting if there's something that's really necessary. But so you allow a counselor, one counselor. You don't want this two and three and all sorts of machination. And like I said, it was put in 2013, became effective 2015. Here we are 10 years later, maybe five times, like I said, at the most I can think of five. And I think it's less than that, but I'm just being generous. I'm rounding up, I guess. So five times in 10 years. And most of the only one that really was impactful was the budget. I guess it was also used back in the 2017 or so about the... toters at that time. But all that would have done is put off the vote for 2 weeks, and I don't know that that necessarily had an effect or not.
Yeah. Well, certainly in the two-week time, there can be time for reflection and also, shall we say, coercion. There are ways, right, to talk to city councilors and to get them to change their votes during that time period, depending on what the issue is. I mean, it's all hypothetical, but that could potentially happen as well, given that extra time where if you're sitting up there at the council making those decisions at that moment, that you may have set in your vote, and you know, it gives you folks some chances to appeal that.
And it gives the constituents a chance to get a hold of you, gets a chance for the mayor or the administration or the department heads to explain it better. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least there's more information on the table, and you can't make a worse vote by waiting 2 weeks, I don't think.
Yeah. Kenny Warren is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTVR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. He's the Ward 1 city councilor here in the city of Pittsfield, and talking right now about the potential changes to the Pittsfield City Charter. Again, that's a long time review process, a 10-year period in between reviews. Again, as Kenny mentioned, we're not required to make any changes to the charter. These are the ones that are proposed. Some of the other ones that came up, and some of these were contributions from city councilors during either the Ordinances and Rules Committee or the city council itself, right? That the city council went further than the recommendations of the review committee. And so some of the ones that came up were changing terms of elected officials, let's say the city council and the school committee, from two-year terms to four-year terms. That's another thing that's come up, right?
Correct. As I said earlier, I said there were like two that I was against from previously that I'm more for. I was not for. I'm probably in the minority on the city council and obviously in the public. I was not for a four-year term for mayor. Mm-hmm. There are good arguments for both sides, and I get it. But in Pittsfield, we were small enough. I thought that the mayor could still come every 2 years. I get the issue of sometimes you're ending up starting the campaign before you need to.
Yeah.
But what happens is when the mayor's on the ballot, we get a high turnout. Mm-hmm. And you don't get a great turnout anyway. And voters just don't. We don't get a high turnout except maybe presidential elections. Mm-hmm. But when the mayor is on the ballot, that brings out more people, which means there's more people that are looking at the races, considering things. I think that's more appropriate.
So voters might be sitting it out if there's only the city council and school committee on the ballot?
Absolutely. I mean,
like there is this year, by the way.
Yeah. And 4 years ago, when the same thing happened, we only had six people running for the school committee. There wasn't a lot of candidates, races, et cetera. So I wanted to at least let the voters, because I'll be honest, I have no, I don't care if it's 4 years. I mean, it really doesn't bother me. First of all, if it got approved,
this is for council and school committee.
Yeah,
4 years.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
For council and school committee. But if it passed, it's not going to affect me. It'd take another 2 years, and I'm not sure I'd be running another 2 years down the road. Number two, what people don't realize is a lot of city councilors run unopposed, so it's essentially like a 4 year term. Mm. It's sort of like the voters are saying they're not interested in the off elections. I think you're going to have a very, very, very low vote this time. Mm. The one good thing is we've got some new people and more people running for the school committee, so mm-hmm. that'll generate some interest.
Yeah.
And we've got, I think, a good race in the at large because mm-hmm. we've got several candidates, mm-hmm. and including Karen Kalinowski coming back, trying to come back. Mm-hmm. We've got Sarah Hathaway, who's been on various boards, mm-hmm. The mayor and various mm-hmm. boards. And then we've got our four incumbents running. So that'll be an interesting race.
Yeah. Well, and school committee, I think, certainly will have quite a focus this year after the events that have transpired in the last term, where, many times the school committee doesn't get a great look when it comes to the election. And people, like you said, there were six people for six slots last time. And that there are more now. I think there's nine for six slots this time around. So there certainly is more choice. And there are certainly a couple of big issues that people will be running on. That's what it seems to me. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to also the other thing, I also don't have a horse in the race, so to speak, on the 4 year school committee.
And to note that you are, by the way, unopposed.
Yes.
This year.
What was I going to say? The school committee, I don't have a horse in the race either. there are arguments for two and for four, but if we're changing people to get everybody on the same schedule, the mayor, the city council, then the school committee needs to be on that. And when people sit there and make it sound like it's horrible for the school committee, I was one of the last school committee people 40 years ago who had a four-year term. Hmm. School committee used to have four-year terms when city councilors had two. Hmm. The reason being they had fiscal autonomy, and so when that was changed, the city decided to bring them down to two. But I will tell you, the school committee does a lot of hard work.
They certainly do.
And it's more detailed on some areas than we as a city council deal with, and they have to be up on stuff. So you would think 4 years to have the continuity of someone being trained, learning the budget process, learning what special ed and what you've got to do with that, mm-hmm. learning the organization of schools. I frankly think they should be on the same level as everybody else. But like I said, if the public doesn't want that, that's fine with me. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they want to have votes every 2 years, that's fine on any office.
Yeah.
So I have no problem. But we can't find out what the voters want unless we put it on the ballot.
Right. And that was my next question. Will this be going to the ballot? Will all of these charter changes be on the ballot for voters to decide?
Maybe.
Maybe. Asterisk, right? So explain that.
I will. To get it on the ballot, we have to go to the state legislature. We're in September. Mm-hmm. State legislature doesn't move quickly. Mm-hmm. And we have to get it to the state legislature and back. So sometime in early October, we're at the end of August. Mm-hmm. I mean, the end of September. Yeah. So there's just no way we're going to be able to do that. So we won't be. I just don't see us getting it on the ballot to be binding. Mm. There is a route to do it non-binding, which would somewhat give us a sense of what the public wants. Mm-hmm. And it might educate us whether we should put our eggs in a basket mm-hmm. to go forward. So there's a possibility, and I might consider proposing it, mm-hmm. that we put these questions on the ballot just to get a feel for what the public wants. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if the public overwhelmingly says they want 4 years, then we make sure we go to the legislature to get that done as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. If the voters say, no way, this is no way we want this, then we'll just stop. Yeah. I mean, but at least we know what the voters want.
My question is, Will the voters have sort of separate votes on these charter changes, or will it all be wrapped up into one big question? Because they're very different, right? And I know we're at the after the top of the hour break here, we'll talk about the mayor proposed as the school committee chair. That was the other charter changes being recommended. So the people could feel very differently on one versus the other, right? That they could want one of the things, but not definitely don't want something else. So is there a way to break that up so the voters have a choice?
Absolutely. 90% of the time, things are broken up. Mm. In 2013, when you're doing a whole revamp of the charter and everything is works into each other and you're doing a brand new, you put it all together because you want everything to work the way the charter review did. But when you're making specific changes, you put them separately. When I was on the charter review and worked with the charter review when I was a city councilor years ago, we had like three major changes. We did recall, initiative, and referendum. Those, and there was a question for each one of them. Because you're right. Somebody may want, normally you'd want initiative and referendum, but there could be a reason why somebody wouldn't want. But you get a vote on each one of these. This is not a whole charter, so there would be separate votes.
Right. Kenny Warren, my guest here again on Morning Drive this morning. It's 8 o'clock now, and we'll go and take that top of the hour break that we always do. And we'll be right back after this with more discussion about city issues with Ward 1 City Councilor Kenny Warren. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Oh, yeah! 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, UCPWMA.org/jobs.
WTBR FM is listener supported radio. That means we depend on your donations to keep the station on the air. All the local content and the music you love requires your support. You can make your donation today at WTBRFM.com by calling 445-4234 or stopping by our studio at 4 Federico Drive in Pittsfield. You'd be glad you did. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
The motto of the Lions Club is, we serve. And for 99 years, the Pittsfield Lions Club has served our neighbors and aided causes both globally and right here in Berkshire County. Join the Pittsfield Lions Club as we grow our membership to explore new opportunities to serve our community while we prepare to celebrate our first century of service in the Berkshires. To learn more, please visit www.pittsfieldlionsclub.org or follow us on Facebook. Thank you.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Welcome to Beyond, a one-hour program of science fiction, fantasy, and adventure. I'll be your host, Beverly Prentice. Listen in every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. My email is beyond3x5@gmail.com.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back here to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee, and on PCTV Select and 1301 Access Pittsfield. You're watching and listening to us this morning. Thanks for being here. Thursday, September 18th it is, and just after 8 a.m. now. Kenny Warren is my guest on the show this morning, Ward 1 City Councilor here in the city of Pittsfield. We'll get right back to that conversation in just a moment. First, let's get the weather forecast from the National Weather Service and and see what beautiful day we have in store for us today. And it's an unironic way of saying that. It is really nice out there. Here we go.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, patchy fog this morning. Sunny. Highs around 80. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear. Patchy fog after midnight. Lows in the mid-50s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday, patchy fog in the morning. Mostly sunny. Highs in the mid-70s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Sounds pretty nice to me. I kind of like that. And you're looking out your window right now, you're seeing blue skies and sun and a little bit of color in the trees, kind of early autumn, early fall time period, even though we haven't gotten to the autumnal equinox yet, but we'll get there. It's a very, very nice time of the year here in the Berkshires.
Absolutely.
Kenny Warren, thanks for being here again this morning. Always good talking to you. Let's finish up on the charter changes, because we were just talking about that before the break, and explore a little bit more about the mayor becoming the automatic school committee chair. That's one of the proposals. Has probably some good and bad choices to it, right? Obviously, a couple of the school committee members currently came out as opposed to that at the last school committee meeting at the open mic segment. They say that the mayor could be the school committee chair if he or she wants to be, and the committee elects them as such. But this would make it automatic that the mayor would always be the school committee chair. What's your feeling about that?
I'm supporting it. I'm big on bodies having a lot of control over how they run their meetings. And I was sort of leaning against this, but I did some research. And if you go across Massachusetts, there are a lot of communities, large and small, that the mayor is the automatic chairperson. Mm-hmm. And then the fact of the matter is, it comes down to, if you have an active mayor, then that mayor will be at the meetings. But I remember there were times where certain mayors were busy doing other things and weren't participating in the school committee. And right. so then there is the vice chair that comes from the school committee, and you're covered. So I don't think it's that bad. And a lot of communities do it. So I'm willing to look at that with a lot of the issues back and forth of the relations between the city side of the community and the school side, having the mayor sort of bring us all under one umbrella and getting us working together. I think that wouldn't be a bad thing. And the way I'm looking at it, it won't hurt us if we pass it, because I don't know if you want to ask the question, or this is one of the provisions of the charter that does not have to go to the voters. Mm. It can. It doesn't have to.
I bet the voters would want a say in that, though.
I'll be honest. I'm not so sure. There's obviously the school committee and some of their supporters and friends and family, but I don't think most people pay attention. Mm. And the reason why I wouldn't, I'd want to do a process that doesn't have to go to the voters is for the simple fact is, if it doesn't work, we can then change it. And you usually have to change something the same way you changed it. Mm. I mean, even if it's not required, it makes sense. If you go to the voters for this and they vote one way, and then you want to change it and say, that's not working, you got to go back to the voters, because then they'll say, what are you trying to bypass us? There is for minor changes, and this is a minor change. This is just making the mayor be able to be the chairman when they attend the meeting and want to run the meetings. Obviously, if a mayor doesn't want to be the chairman, they can sit there and decline and let the vice chair run. But the mayor is the overall head, the executive of the whole city, and the mayor does have a seat on the school committee, so it makes sense that the mayor, if the mayor chooses to run a meeting, should be able to run the meetings as they see fit.
So I guess I have two questions about that. One question is, the mayor's already very busy, not this mayor, but every mayor that comes to the city of Pittsfield. They've got a lot on their plate, right? They're running the entire administration. They're working with the council on legislation, things like that. There's all a budget. There's so many things the mayor does. Do we want to require that they have to do this thing also, which is a big job, as you just described with the school committee, having to know all these special details and then also to run the meeting and decide what's going to be on the meeting and things like that. Seems like another burden to add to the mayor's plate.
Well, there's two things. As I said, a mayor does not have to run the meetings. They can defer to their vice chair, number one. Number two, that's a good question. So we asked Mayor Marchetti, and he said he felt comfortable and he would be able to do it. And obviously, I give a lot of deference and respect to mayors that I agree with and don't agree with, and he feels that he can do it. I'm willing to give it. And that's, like I said, the way I'm looking at it is if it doesn't work, if the mayor comes back and says, you know what, I'm overwhelmed, I can't do it. Or we look at it and we see it's just not working. The mayor can't, as much as the mayor's trying, can't. We can change it at a city council procedure. So I think it's something to explore.
The other question I think I would throw in there then is the shifting of a balance of power, if you will, right? The school committee is a separately elected board with, as we know, the mayor as one of the members. So there's seven people, six of them are elected separately by the voters because they manage this very large budget item, right? They manage, the city council grants them within the budget a certain amount of money, and then the school committee governs and decides how to use that. Are we shifting the balance by putting the mayor as the chair of that committee, sort of in charge of that? Are we ceding that power over? And, you know, it reminds me of sort of what's going on at the federal level in some ways, where we're shifting some of the power and responsibilities differently than what we've had in the past. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't see it that way. Like I said, first of all, if you look at many communities, including Salem, which is a good model to look at, they've done a lot of good things. They've been cited as being one of the model communities. The lieutenant governor comes from Salem. They have that in theirs. So I see it. It can be beneficial. I also, what people don't realize is, I get that there's some ability to shape the agenda in some fashion, but you don't totally control it, and you don't control the votes any more than you would if you're the seventh member.
Sure.
If the mayor wants something and is really pushing for it, the mayor can make a very strong case for it, whether they're on the just sitting there or whether they're the chairman. And by the way, in all honesty, if we're all being honest here, it's the school superintendent who really runs things, and they're supposed to. And they're the ones who dictate what items go on an agenda, in the sense that if they're ready to put the proposal to change the organization of the school structure at the elementary level, they bring a report in, and then they want it on the agenda, et cetera. So the mayor, it's just more, I think, to make a cohesive, and we want to try it. Or I'm willing to let it be tried.
Fascinating discussion here, and I think, you know, again, not the end of the story. The voters will have some say potentially this year, whether it's a non-binding referendum or whether it is something that will actually change the charter. We'll see how the timing works out for that, and we'll follow up on that as we go through. So good discussion there on the charter. Kenny Warren, again, our Ward 1 City Councilor, City of Pittsfield, my guest this morning on Morning Drive. And let's chat about a couple things. We know we got to let you go early this morning. I've got another appointment to head to. But the short-term rentals discussion is another thing that has heated up recently. And I'm, for one, didn't realize that the city of Pittsfield didn't have an ordinance governing short-term rentals. And we talk about that. We basically mean Vrbo and Airbnb, things like that, where you're using a property that you have part-time as a rental to, you know, bring in some extra cash or whatever. And so the city now is grappling with that and putting something in the books. So at the most recent city council meeting, that was passed after much discussion, right, to have some regulations in for short-term rentals and to sort of cap the number of days in a year that someone can use a property at, I think it was 150 days. Is that
correct?
What was the final?
Yes.
Yeah. How do you feel about that particular ordinance and putting that in place?
I think we need to put something in place because, as you said, we didn't have anything. And without having anything, then you can't regulate. You can't, if somebody's totally abusing the situation. Mm-hmm. And I guess when I first got on the city council, I know other councilors were dealing with this issue. It would come up. And you couldn't do much because we didn't have an ordinance. I'll also be honest that as far as I know, I've gotten no calls regarding this issue of people using it, doing it, whatever, in my ward. Mm. I think it applies more to Ward 7, for example, mm-hmm. because you've got the lake there, yeah. Maybe Ward 6, some other places. But mm. I never really had it in my ward, and I'm not as knowledgeable on this issue as in since it didn't affect my ward, and I don't use Airbnbs or whatever.
So a lot of people do, though.
No,
and it does affect other communities, as you say, maybe more than it does Pittsfield. But not having any kind of way to regulate or figure out what to do when there's a complaint, you know, it's like, well, we have to let it go because we have nothing on the books to say that we can do anything about it.
Absolutely, and like we were talking, charter changes, ordinances, you have a lot more flexibility to change. So we put something on the books. If there's something that's not quite working, we can tweak it. There's no magic number for how many days. Mm. I think the thought was 90 days would be too small and wouldn't. And some people are using this to help supplement their income, especially if they're retired. Mm-hmm. They supplement their income to be able to pay their taxes and keep the property up. So 90 was probably too low. Is 150 the sweet spot? I don't know, but we'll try it and we'll see how things go. But at least it gives us something on the books. Unfortunately, there's an underlying requirement that's beyond the city's control that may impact on how useful this ordinance is.
These are the state regulations that are upcoming that are going to regulate things like regular inspections, right? So a yearly inspection they'll have to go through. And the other thing was the sprinkler requirement, right? So what's the state doing with that?
Well, the way I understand it, and I was looking at it, and I didn't see the interpretation, but I guess from the state on down to all the building inspectors, the view is if you make a major change in use, which I guess, to me, an Airbnb is almost like being the house you're living in. You're just having your relatives over in one section of the house or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's now considered that it's a major change, and any major changes, you have to meet the current code, which includes sprinklers. And I mean, most homes don't have sprinklers, nor do they, you know, first of all, it'd be crazy. It's economically crazy.
So, very expensive option to put in, too. It's not like putting a smoke detector on the ceiling, right? You got to get this plumbed in. It's a big deal.
It certainly is. And so even those that are trying to supplement their income, I don't know what the cost is, but I can imagine that some people who were doing it are not going to be able to do it because they can't afford it. I'm sure there's not only the cost, but there's probably some practical considerations on what you can do in certain houses. So some houses might not be, but at least we've got something on the books, and then we work from there. And I mean, I'm seeing some of the same things in Lenox, in Great
certainly.
Barrington, you know.
Yeah, I think it does apply very strongly down there, being a lot more second homeowners and sort of short term, you know, people coming in and out in certain seasons of the year. But it's certainly possible that Pittsfield could share in some of that as well, right?
Correct.
And that helps the economy. So it's always a balance, right? Little by little. You want to make sure that people are taken care of and they get a chance to, you know, if they want to make a little money on their property, they can do it within reason. But then also to protect the, you know, the public's interest.
Correct. Yeah. Because some people were abusing it. And like I said, I remember when I first got on the council, I think there was a house in Ward 7 that was really problematic. I kept hearing about it. So there were a lot of things that people were coming in and out. And a matter of fact, the house was overloaded, so to speak, from what I understand. It had more people, more cars were on the road and in the driveway. So it gives us something. So
just some common sense stuff, really. Right.
Yeah. You don't really need an ordinance, but sometimes you do.
You only write the ordinances for the 1% of the problems, not the 99% of the easy stuff, right?
Correct.
Kenny Warren, again, my guest here, and only a few minutes left before we have to let him go for the day. And interesting thing that just happened, popped up a couple days ago in the news, was the issue of cell towers. So of course, that was a hot issue for a long time here in the city of Pittsfield. Still sort of bubbling under, if you will. And the decision that was made back a few years ago by the health board to first decide that the cell tower, you know, should not be operational for health purposes, and then rescinding that decision. That situation has now made its way to the Supreme Judicial Court. That's a kind of an interesting development for something that happened here in Pittsfield, and that could have statewide implications, right?
Oh, I agree. It's very interesting. I'm surprised that they took it up based on what I know of the law. But, I mean, obviously they may want to clarify it one way or another, to clarify that the way the federal government regulates it is in place, or that there's more control at the local level. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But it was very interesting when I saw that they took it up.
Yeah. And so they're basically deciding whether a local board has the control of something like that, right? Because obviously there are federal implications, there are federal laws that supersede both the local and the state laws. But now the Supreme Judicial Court in Mass is going to say, well, does this board have the authority to say that?
Yeah, I mean, I think what the federal government always can preempt, and they do a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And but there, what I think the issue is the federal government's preempting on what level of the waves that can be coming from a cell tower. Mm-hmm. What the issue is local boards of health are allowed to regulate health. So the issue is, we're not telling them what wavelength and et cetera. We're telling them that if that wavelength in a certain area is causing health problems, a local board of health can regulate it. And I'm not sure when I read the law, and one of the reasons the city council, based on legal opinion, we backed off, is there's a provision that you had to pay the legal fees of the cell tower provider.
Yeah.
And they're going to have humongous legal fees because they're going to hire the best talent and everything. So if we lost, it could be a couple $1 million of cost to the city of Pittsfield. So
I suppose they're using that as the tool, right, to make sure that they keep everything in line, because that would have big implications for them nationwide.
Absolutely. So this will definitely be an interesting case. I have seen cases all over the country where towers have been moved, but what you usually see is it's not controlled by the government. In other words, for example, there was out in Los Angeles, there was a tower moved from a school site to another site. Well, the government has a right to control what goes on their property,
right,
and stuff. This is private property. So that's a little different. Or, you know, so there's other things that are considered. But as to this, we had very little control that we thought. We tried to support the residents to the extent that we could. I'm sure some of them may disagree. I put in a couple petitions to deal with it on both the state and federal level. There's a court decision out of an appeals court that says that the FCC is supposed to restudy this issue, because the last study on how these affect health was done in 1995. And the court ruled that. And so we, as a city council, took a position and sent to the federal government, and they said, Pittsfield who? I think other communities did the same thing.
So and potentially so, more to come on that issue then.
We'll
see where that leads.
Yes.
One other thing, and we've gotten only 2 minutes before we let you go, is another health-related issue, the camping ban ordinance that has gone back and forth on the city council and various committees. Obviously, a big public impression to that. A lot of people coming to open mic talking about this. We're not finished talking about it, but now the city council has voted to send it to the Board of Health for further study. How do you feel about that decision?
Well, they asked for it. The mayor, who obviously is the chief executive and he has control. He agreed with it, so we sent it. More input doesn't hurt. One of the One of the proposals that was being circulated out there was coming from a health perspective, and one of the health board members had drafted several of the provisions, so this would make sense for them to look at it. I'd be supporting a version that might focus on that change that the health people had put out and stuff. So it'd be good to hear what the board says on that, and then it comes back to us. But I think something needs to be in place for that. And once again, if it's an ordinance, we can change it.
Yeah, and that will come back to the city council at the, I believe, October 28th meeting. That's what we're expecting to see there.
Correct.
Right, right before the election. Kenny Warren, I want to say thank you for being here this morning and giving up your time on short notice to come in and talk to us. A fascinating conversation. We'll do it again soon.
I enjoyed it, so I will come back.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.
Have a good day, everybody, and we will be talking to you soon. Well, actually, we'll see you tomorrow morning on Morning Drive. Take care.